With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Sports Radio, broadcasting live at TireRack.com, studios TireRack.com. We'll help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way that tire buying should be. Welcome in. Hope you're great. We may get this in the show, be talking the pod. I will say that as much as I'd love to start by talking about the NFL today, like, man, NFL draft was Thursday. Yes, I know there were two other days of the NFL draft. I would move the NFL draft to Sunday. Then you have Sunday, huge viewing audience. Monday, like Monday Night Football, will be kind of recap and then the other rounds. And then you have a Tuesday. Then you get the whole week for us to talk about. Now it feels kind of forced. Instead, we talk about Jalen Brunson dropping 47? 47? And Anthony Edwards doing the old Nuke Lelouch and announcing his presence with authority. But, you know, my favorite time is when a team just lost, because you can pick apart the carcass of the rotting corpse, right? And you sit there and you go, why'd he die? Why'd he die? We do it with basketball teams, we do it with football teams, we do it with baseball teams, right? And some of it can be bad luck. Luck can be a factor. You know, I don't think the Pelicans were going to beat the Thunder, but if you don't think the series would be dramatically different if, you know, Zion Williamson was healthy, you're not paying attention. The Bucks have been an abject disaster this year in adding Damian Lillard, but Damian Lillard not playing game five, or was it game four? Probably not playing game five and not having Giannis for the entire series. You think it would have been different? Of course. So some of that is just bad luck. But if we pick apart the carcass of the Phoenix Suns, because don't get me wrong, we'll have time to do it with the Milwaukee Bucks, and some of it will blame on injury. A lot of it will blame on composition and just the idea that you have some guys can't play second fiddle. By the way, do any bands have two fiddles anymore? Like, there was Stagecoach this weekend. I didn't go. Hey, I have tons of friends that did. I don't know of any country band that had two fiddles. Unless Alabama was at Stagecoach, and even Alabama, I'm not sure they had two fiddles. But I digress.
I think Bluegrass has multiple fiddles, if you're a Bluegrass fan.
It's a multiple fiddle thing? Nobody wants to play second fiddle in Bluegrass. Wait, my first fiddle or my second fiddle? Your second fiddle. Nah, I'm walking them out. I'm walking. The attitudes on these fiddler players, you know? One of my favorite quotes from a movie comes from The Hunt for Red October. Now, if you know me, you know that I have an affinity for a couple types of movies. Do you guys know this? Submarine movies. Okay? Submarine movies. Westerns. pretty much anything Denzel has been in, right? Pretty much anything, and John Hughes movies. I love sub movies. I think I've seen all of them. Maybe not. U571, Crimson Tide, Das Boot, right? The original Das Boot. But I love Hunt for Red October. Hunt for Red October is written by the late, great Tom Clancy. Jack Ryan, of course, was his star character, right? The old CIA agent. And in this case, a very, very young Alec Baldwin played Jack Ryan. And James Earl Jones was his boss of the CIA. And Fred Thompson also died, right? He also got the call, didn't he? Fred Thompson, who went from actor to senator in Tennessee, was the submarine, the American submarine commander. And I look at the flaws of the Phoenix Suns. And yes, we can talk about Kevin Durant and what he did and didn't do. We can definitely talk about Brad Beal, whether or not he's actually a great player in real NBA basketball as opposed to just a really good player on really bad teams when he was in Washington. And Devin Booker, and does it work with Booker and Durant playing on the same team as one another? We could do all of that. We could talk about the fact that they have a coach who won in Indy, didn't win in Orlando, won a title in LA, and seemed like a bad fit for the players and the style of which Phoenix wanted to play. But to me, it all comes down to having either no plan or a bad plan.
Russians don't take a dump, son, without a plan.
Right? I love that line. I don't know why I love that line, but I love that line. And it's true. Like, you got to have a plan in this thing. You don't just go and acquire assets, which is kind of what they did. Right? Like, ooh, we got Kevin Durant. We moved heaven and earth and got Kevin Durant to go along with Devin Booker. But wait, there's more. I almost feel like it was a Ronco commercial. Am I dating myself with the Ronco commercials? Do those still exist right there? Set it and forget it. Yeah! I felt like it was a Ronco commercial. Hey, don't we get Kevin Durant? But wait, there's more. And you took what they did was frankly the exact same thing the Brooklyn Nets had done when they acquired Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They had a culture people like, they had a team people like, and yeah, they kind of topped out at some point in the playoffs. But in effort to be different, they did the exact same thing Brooklyn did, and they actually had worse results. It's fair to say that Brooklyn didn't get Kevin Durant to the finals. It's unfair to say that it was a complete and abject disaster because, well, when they had James Harden, they had Kyrie Irving, they had Kevin Durant, even with Kyrie hurt, with Kyrie healthy, they were blowing out the Bucks. They're up 2-0. Kyrie gets hurt. And had Kevin Durant not stepped on the line, despite the fact that James Harden had a bad hamstring, they win that series. They go to the NBA Finals and maybe Kyrie plays and they got a chance to win the thing. This one ends up in a 4-0 series sweep. And I can point to one play, and it's a play that everybody's talking about, and I can talk you through it and show how that shows you everything you need to know about the Suns. You ready for it? Okay, Sam, did you watch last night's game?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm going to come back to you in a second. Dan Beyer, I know you did your show. Okay, I'm sure you watched sickeningly your Bucks play. You got a lot of stuff going on with your son at home. Did you watch last night's game?
Yes.
Okay. Jay Stu, did you watch last night's game or only highlights?
No, I did not watch it. I watched highlights. Yeah.
Okay, let's start with Jason. What's the one highlight everybody's talking about today?
The Anthony Edwards dunk.
Okay. Sam, fair enough. Is that you watched the game? Is that the play that jumps out at you?
Yes.
Okay. I would also say that Anthony Edwards blocking Devin Booker's dunk in addition to his dunk would be kind of the two, but definitely the one. Is that fair, Dan Beyer, that the play that jumps out as the play of that game?
It does sound like you're kind of peacocked over Jason, you know, and mentioning the block that he probably didn't see, but yes, it was the dunk.
Right. So on that dunk, here's what happened. Ready? Okay. We talk about teams And there's an expression, especially in basketball. You ever heard this? Connected teams. Well, they're just a connected team. Right? Just a connected team. It's like us as a kind of a show unit. You got to be kind of connected show unit. Connected team. Okay, so Anthony Edwards has the ball on the left wing. He's coming down the court in the left wing. When you're coming towards the basket, you go right at a guy. That's called going downhill. That's called downhill basketball. Now, he's technically not really going downhill because he did stop to go through his legs and then faked a crossover, right? Okay, Devin Booker is at the top of the key. There's no offensive player within 15 feet of him. So Devin Booker being at the top of the key means that's one where your help is, and two, Devin Booker's actually supposed to double-team the basketball there. Supposed to put two on the ball, get the ball out of Anthony Edwards' hands. So there's two mistakes in one. One, Brad Beal, the only place you're not supposed to send the ball is to the baseline. And where Devin Booker is supposed to be is right next to him to double team him. So Booker's wrong for not coming early. And Beal is really wrong because he reached, got beat to the baseline instead of sending the ball to the middle to where his help is, where a double team is. And then Kevin Durant, the third of the three stars, is the low man. His man is opposite. On the opposite side of the ball, he's below the backboard. And I don't know if you guys know. Do you guys know there's a little hash mark down there on the court? Okay, there's a little hash mark on the court on the baseline. That position is called the dunker. I'm sure you've heard of it before, right? So he's guarding the dunker. Well, the second, okay, you're not allowed to stay 3 seconds in the key. But when Anthony Edwards has the ball on the wing, he's supposed to, one, be in the lane, and then, two, as he drives, be on the ball side of the lane, stopping the basketball with his body, where then they can trap the ball and get the ball out of his hands. He is the last line of defense, and he's late. So Beal reaches and doesn't send him to the middle. Booker's not double-teaming. Even though he's where he's supposed to be early, he should be double-teaming. And then Kevin Durant is late, and so they get dunked on, and the series was over, and it becomes a highlight. Here's the play.
10 to shoot. Edwards.
Oh, Edwards! A signature slam!
It was a perfect call from the great Ian Eagle. A perfect call. Because even with that, right before that dunk, it was a close game. It was like a 4-6 point game, and that ended. It was over. And it wasn't just over because of the score. It was over because you had three guys who were on the same team that all liken themselves as some form of superstars, unable to talk, work together. And what does that mean? They're not connected. Because they didn't realize, okay, in putting this team together, that Brad Beal was not ready for that level of play. Brad Beal discombobulated before all of us. Did you guys see Brad Beal foul out on purpose? I mean, there's no other explanation for what happened. He turns the basketball over, going to the baseline, turns and yells at the bench to review the play. He does the circle thing. They don't, because it looked like it was off on him and they only had one timeout left. He goes down the other end of the court and fouls with five fouls just out of nowhere because he was so frustrated. He just wasn't ready for that. You know, you play a decade in the NBA and you think your whole life, I can't wait to get to the NBA playoffs. This is what it's like. And then all of a sudden, you're not as good and your team's not as good as you thought. And then in a must-win game, you play terribly. He discombobulated. So they didn't know what they were getting in Brad Beal. Plus, he wasn't healthy most of the year, so it's hard to build a team. Durant and Booker, They just didn't seem like they worked together well. And you have a head coach who's a data guy, who's an ultimate preparation guy, who's a film guy, and Kevin Durant famously is not. Oh, yeah, by the way, do you guys remember this time last year when they were looking for a new head coach and they decided that Kevin Young wasn't going to be their head coach? Now he's the BYU head coach, but he was going to stay on as an assistant? That doesn't work. Right? That doesn't work. It's really, really hard. Everyone has to really sacrifice their egos for a guy who was up for the job to then be second chair for the job. So you make two trades, not thinking about whether or not it fits together well. You trade away your star center, DeAndre Ayton, for two backups. And what did they need? They need a point guard. They need a center. They had neither. So you don't acquire a point guard. You trade away your center kind of out of spite. You put together a coaching staff, which in and of itself doesn't fit, a coaching staff which probably doesn't fit with the personnel, and then the players don't necessarily fit together. And you have a non-connected team, and the perfect embodiment of it is that one play, which becomes the signature play for the other team and the other great player, but really should be the signature for why the Phoenix Suns were a car fire. If you don't have a plan, it becomes like the late, great John Wooden's expression. You ever heard this one? Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Maybe they should have put a Russian in charge.
Russians don't take a dump, son, without a plan.
Right? Gotta have a plan. Gotta have a plan. You do have to have a plan when you take a dump, though, right? You gotta, like, make sure when you sit down, you check out, like, you ever gone really, you had to go really bad, you go down, you sit down, you go, and you're like, oh my God, no toilet paper. The worst. The worst. We need to do that one in a pod. That's more of a podcast discussion. Maybe it's a game time thing for you at some point, Dan Beyer. It's you don't have toilet paper. You're in a public restroom. What do you do?
I don't know.
What do you do? These are the things. These are the connective tissue with us all.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. He was awesome over the weekend because, well, that's his personal Christmas. Daniel Jeremiah, lead analyst for the NFL Network's coverage of the NFL Draft, and he's also co-host of the Move the Six podcast, and he joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Weird draft this year. Weird. I'm just going to tell you how it felt from our perspective. Obviously, first rounds was so much about quarterbacks, and then it did feel like second and third day, there was a lot more lesser-known commodities. And I'm trying to figure out if it's because of the transfer portal, because there wasn't quarterbacks or big-name players like that, or the fact in college football we only kind of pay attention to a handful of teams now because of the playoff. How did it feel to you in comparison to other drafts?
Yeah, I mean, I knew all the guys, Doug, so I had watched all of them, but I had said kind of through the process, this was a weird year because it was the kind of the in-between year where you have NIL, more so even than the transfer portal, but just NIL being able to keep some kids in school, you have the sixth year, the COVID year that a bunch of people had. So that just kind of almost eliminated a big chunk of a class. So I think next year it'll kind of get back on track. I think you'll be more familiar with more of the players once we get into the second, third round. But you know, this year it was lean, and that's why, you know, I thought it was smart for teams that were doing two things in the draft. You're trading up to get picks, you know, as many picks kind of as you can in that top 50, 60 range. And then teams, once you saw we got to day three, you know, I know Philadelphia did this. I believe the Jets and a couple other teams as well that started just, you know, sending out picks and getting picks for next year. You know, trade a 5 this year for a 4 next year. I thought that was a pretty astute observation of kind of where we were with this particular draft.
Okay, so let's get to the actual first-round draft. What pick left you scratching your head the most in the first round?
Well, I mean, it's not – I mean, I don't think I'm going on a limb here and saying that the Michael Penix to the Falcons was one that, sure, you know, didn't have on my bingo card. I knew they liked him. I knew they'd done a lot of work on him. I thought there was, you know, a chance they trade back and he could potentially be in the mix, or they take somebody at 8 and then maybe they come back up and take him at the bottom of 2, or if he's there in the second round, they would take him. But I didn't have it in my calculus that they would just sit and pick and take him with the 8th pick. So that was one that, you know, that was pretty surprising to me. You know, outside of that, I don't know that there, you know, some of the other smaller stuff, just in terms of the run on offense went as long as it did before we saw a defensive player. I think it was the first, 14 picks were all offense. So that was a little bit of a surprise. It was definitely an offensive-heavy draft. I knew that, and top-heavy on the offensive side of the ball. But I didn't imagine the first defensive player would be, you know, would be 15 there with Leatu Latu to the Colts.
No, I didn't think so. I didn't think so either. So if the Falcons left us scratching our heads the most, what was the one that you sat there? Like, what do you think of Bo Nix with the Broncos? Like, that one's interesting to me. I know his numbers were great this year with Oregon.
Yeah.
But we've seen him for a long time. He was older, and he struggled at times on the road, and definitely struggled back when he was in the SEC. When you look at what and who he's replacing, who he's going to work with, you know that division better than anybody on the face of the earth. What do you think of Bo Nix being taken in a place where he's going to be the starter in Denver?
Yeah, I thought that was the spot for him. You know, it's kind of one of those things where I think if you're a scout who had a good grade on Bo Nix, you were elated to see him get drafted by Denver, because that is by far the best fit for him. It'll be the best opportunity for him, fitting in with what Sean Payton does in terms of protect the football, you know, quick decisions, get the ball out of your hand, and then, you know, strategic shots. You know, it's not going to be gratuitous with vertical passing, but they'll take their shots when they're there. And you've got somebody who, Sean Payton, who it was not a secret, really, really liked him. So, you know, if he gets picked by another team, I think you'd be sitting here going like, I don't know how that's going to work. And, you know, a little bit limited on the upside, but this was the one fit for him. If I was in the Bo Nix camp, I'd be very happy about the way that all worked out.
Stug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We talked a lot about the Washington Commanders and what they were going to do at quarterback. And they did what you thought they would do, most people thought they would do. What about the overall draft, right? This is a new regime. They're trying to completely turn this thing around. What do you think about what the Commanders did?
I liked it. You know, one of the things that we've been able to do over the last couple of years is kind of take my, you know, top 150 list, and then instead of, like, I always kind of chuckle at the draft grades. I think they're really stupid, personally. Mm-hmm. They don't make any sense to me. And it's just, you're just grabbing the letter grade out of the sky. Whereas we can go through and assign number value to it in terms of, you know, if I have 150 players ranked, the number one player is worth 150 points. The number 150 player is worth 1 point. And so it's pretty simple. You add that up. And when you do that with the way I looked at the players, I had the Cardinals getting the most points, and I had the Commanders getting the second most points. So, in other words, they added a lot of impact players. And the other way you kind of look at it is kind of like the points over expected. So if you were picking one, your expectation is you're going to get 150 points of value. So based off everywhere that you were picking, and you look at that and say, okay, what is the value of what you got compared to where you were? The teams that came out at the top that way were Buffalo, you know, adding a lot of value for where they were, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. So those would be the top three teams in that area. So I'm trying to push this, Doug, because I just think,
I love it. No, I love it.
Who better served than doing these dumb letter grades?
I agree. You know, you have more of the better players, right?
Yeah,
got more of the better players, and I also commend Washington because you know you went with they went with 3 seconds and 2/3. That by everyone's estimation, that's where the value is in the draft, right? Where if you're so much, the hit rate is slightly lower, but the expense is also lower as well, and you know you get five in those two rounds, and if you do it right, you got a chance. So you mentioned the Steelers.
Yeah.
Now that the plan has kind of come together, right? What do you think of Russell Wilson starting at quarterback with this group that the Steelers now officially have?
I'm pretty bullish, man. I think that they had a clear vision of what they would need there. I think they went out really before they got Russell Wilson. If you look at last year where this started, they go out and get Broderick Jones in the first round, a tackle out of Georgia who's really, really talented. They get Isaac Samalo from the Eagles, who's a really good guard. So they get two starters last year, and then they come back with this year, and they got three stud offensive linemen, you know, including one of the best left tackles and the kid from Washington, Fatanu, one of the best centers in Frazier, and another good interior lineman. So they, you know, people also got to remember they've got Freiermuth, who's a good tight end, and they've got Washington, who's a 280-pound tight end, behemoth from Georgia. So Russell Wilson's going to be out there playing. They're going to run the ball. They're going to have the tight ends, which are going to give them some easy completions. You've got George Pickens. When you're going to see loaded boxes, he's going to be able to throw over the top of coverage off play action. All these things are when Russell Wilson truly was his best version of himself early on in his career. He's not what he was then, but they don't need him to be that. With the defense they have in Pittsburgh and with what they've done to kind of establish the line of scrimmage on offense, I don't want to say it's quarterback proof where anybody can go out there and do this, but I think they have set up an environment that is very, very friendly for Russell Wilson.
I would say that's what the we knew what the Chargers were going to do, but they have made it very clear what they're going to do, right? We're going to run the ball, and we're going to protect our quarterback. Is Alt the right tackle or the left tackle?
He's going to play on the right side.
Yep.
So they're not going to move Slater. He's been an all-pro there. Alt, he kind of requested as soon as he was picked, and you can, this tells you a little bit about, you know, kind of the guy he is and the worker he is. He's like, hey, I'm excited about this. Just let me know right or left so I can just start repping it and working it, you know. So I think the plan was conveyed to him. You're going to be on the right side so he can start, you know, working through the off season. And I know, you know, we've talked about it. A lot of people have talked about it. Okay, you're taking a left and putting him on the right. And then, you know, when I step back and look at it, I just go, this guy was – he's only played tackle for 2 years. He was a tight end coming out of high school.
Yeah.
So in 2 years, he turned himself into the fifth overall pick as a left tackle.
He's Lane Johnson-like, right?
Yes, yes. So in other words, I don't think the transition from left to right tackle, he's done something much harder than that, going from tight end to left tackle. So I think he'll be fine.
Is there wide receiver? Is Ladd McConkey enough to give their wide receiver corps to give Justin Herbert a chance?
I think he's really good. I still think when you look at the championship version of a roster, like you can say, okay, they're putting the foundation in place now. Mm-hmm. I still think they need going into the future. But I understand what they were doing, which is you got to get the big pieces in first. So mm-hmm. They're going to take care of the line of scrimmage. And McConkey's a solid. I think he's going to be a really solid two. I think Palmer's a solid two. So they've got a nice combination of those guys. Quentin Johnson hopefully takes a step forward, but I don't see a one there. So, you know, I think if they're going to be, you know, I think they're going to be really competitive this year. I think they can be a playoff team this year, but I think to be at a championship level roster, I think they're going to need a one at some point in time. But it's a lot easier once you have the offensive line in place, Doug, going into the future with trades or free agency or the draft, you know, they've got the hard stuff done. You can find wideouts every year.
Yeah, and they got some of those old, they got to get rid of some of those old contracts to get maybe a big time wide receiver. Maybe they'll get somebody in free agency or via trade who wants a new deal or worn out his welcome elsewhere. Plenty of wide receivers who've worn out their welcome at some point in their career. You've never worn out your welcome. We love having you. You did a great job. And thanks so much for joining us.
I appreciate it, Doug. Catch up soon.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Thoroughbred racing has a new independent regulator, HISA, that is implementing comprehensive reforms, and the sport is combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to keep athletes safe. Learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com. John Middlecoff in a moment, but there's apparently going to be a Tom Brady roast, right? The greatest roast of all time is what they're calling it. And, you know, it's like you got some former teammates like, oh, locker room humor, huh? Huh? Has anybody actually seen these roasts? It's like we're commenting on roasts. Like, I've watched all of them. They're great. The writing in it is spectacular. But yeah, Tom Brady, like the idea that Tom Brady is going to take full frontal assault from some of these things is kind of comical. Kind of comical. John Middlecoff joins us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. NFL analyst, host of Three and Out podcast on the Volume Podcast Network. John, first, like the idea that they're going to crush Tom Brady is silly, right?
Did I miss the story? What happened?
Nothing. They're just going to have the greatest roast of all time, and people are talking about, you know, the fact that he's going to have.
You know what's funny is I was flipping on Netflix, and I saw that. And we're laying in bed, and I'm like, she's like, we want to watch this? I'm like, I don't even, is this, how? What is going on here? You know, it's one of those things, the roast got big, whatever, a decade ago. I think this one is destined to, I think you'd be better off doing Belichick. You know, there's more negative stuff to say.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, I'm sure there's stuff you can make up. Plus, it's comedy writers. They can figure it out, you know.
Is he doing a big? Is Tom trying to do like a rebrand?
Yes.
Right now,
he's been doing a rebrand, I think, since he left New England.
But for what? Like we all know him, like him. He's got it, when he left New England, everything was positive. Like he's a high character guy. He's got a lot of friends, teammates like him. Like what does he need to rebrand?
I think when he was in New England, he was kind of hated. You know, they were all kind of hated, and he didn't like that.
I understand that when you're in, like, the bubble of the Patriots. But I think the natural transition to going to Tampa, and especially now, whatever, we're 2024, almost in May, I think we all agree Tom seems like a pretty good guy, right?
It sure feels that way. Let's get to, let's recap the NFL draft. Most surprising thing in the draft was what?
I mean, it has to be the quarterback. I don't know. I haven't heard your take on it, but, you know, in the NFL, this is not baseball, right? Every team has the same amount of money and the same amount of draft picks. You just get to choose how you use it, right? The reason the Browns don't have a first-round pick because they trade for Watson, they give them all that money. Some teams have multiple first-round picks. When you invest $100-plus million in an older quarterback, which, let's face it, if Cousins had been healthy and just had a good year and the Vikings made the playoffs again, it would have been a no-brainer. But it is a little risky coming off an Achilles. But then you have the eighth pick. Like, you knew you had the eighth pick January 1st, basically, because you didn't make the playoffs. So you had 2.5 months before free agency to know you loved, or I mean, leading into free agency to know you loved Penix. And you weren't like the Vikings or, you know, the Raiders. Like, you were pretty high. And if worst case scenario, you could have got to 8-4 pretty easy because it ensured that the Cardinals were going to get Harrison or Rome, two of the guys they wanted, they got Harrison. But to invest in a quarterback, like the eighth pick doesn't make Purdy money. You know, he still makes $6, $7 million a year. And he's a 24-year-old ready-made guy. So I just think there's no planning. And that's coaches live in the present. Like, I understand the coaches wanting him and Cousins. The GM's job in football, this is not basketball where I get LeBron. If I can sign Jokic and Curry, I can play them all. A quarterback, you can only play one guy. And the benefit of having a rookie like Caleb Williams is his contract for 4 years. So Michael Penix, it's just all out of whack. The other thing is, coming off the injury, like, I would imagine they're going to really get on the field with the coaches in the next, I don't know, 20 days. Well, who's going to be taking the first team reps? It's not Cousins rehabbing the torn Achilles, it's Penix. So all of a sudden, Penix, their group also is not established veterans. It's young players. If I'm those young guys, it's like, what if he looks awesome, which he probably will in routes on air situations. So the locker room dynamics, to me, it was no planning. And it's just like most people that I know in the NFL that, you know, playoff level teams are just like, we just feel like they just kind of freewheeling it.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It makes zero sense. And the other part to the Atlanta thing that's kind of alarming is, remember, this is the front office group that said they couldn't get along with Bill Belichick. This is also the front office group that screwed up other drafts as well. So it's like, we're seeing a pattern here, right? Not that Bill Belichick is a great drafter or would have been great, but it's like, okay, you're fighting against a guy who's been far more successful than you have. It's fascinating. Okay, the team that you're like, that team gets it. They're killing it.
Well, I mean, the playoff teams are just well run, you know, and they're not, they don't have the pick of the litter because they're all drafted in the 20s. I mean, I think every year the Ravens draft well. Obviously, the Chiefs needed a speed guy, and I would say Andy has a pretty good history with players like that. I don't even hate the Bills. Now, I understand trading with the Chiefs seems crazy, but I think they looked at it, and if you look at the next picks, no one was picking Xavier Worthy. The Ravens weren't. They took Zay Flowers last year. The Lions don't need him. The 49ers definitely weren't taking that player. So not that he's not good. He's just not a Kyle Shanahan guy. So he would have been there for the Chiefs at 32. So I think the Bills went, I don't know if you saw the quotes from Keon Coleman. They had Josh Allen evaluate the group of, you know, the receivers that were in their range, and he was their number one guy. And I would imagine it's not like – he wouldn't. I love Keon Coleman. The guy's really good. He's a big physical receiver. So to me, all the teams in the 20s, like the Eagles, I don't want to say they got lucky, but they got lucky in the sense that no, they desperately needed a corner, and no one picked the top corner in the draft, which is unheard of. And I said, I think we had talked about it. I talked about it with Colin. It's kind of rare when you look at this draft now. It's basically all the first-round picks are coming from all the top six or seven programs because they buy them all now. Right, a lot of them are transfer portal guys. Well, Nick Saban basically admitted on Thursday, you know, he never entered the transfer portal, but we kind of told him, enter the transfer portal and we'll come get you. So Saban wanted the dude from Toledo, and Howie Roseman just gets them at 22.
Amazing, amazing stuff. Okay, the quarterbacks in terms of fit. We've talked about Jaden McDaniels a ton. We've obviously talked about Caleb Williams. The New England Patriots have themselves a new quarterback. How is this rookie quarterback different than Mac Jones? And the setup.
Well, he's extremely the talent gap, right? If you just from a physical standpoint, from an attribute standpoint, and obviously quarterback's about more than that, but he's in a different universe. So the other thing is, I think all these guys, basically four of the six, are going to be immediate starters, or maybe three of the six, right? Caleb, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix. They're starting week one. Penix, if he would have been drafted by the Raiders or something, he also would have started week one, but he's in a unique situation. J.J. McCarthy and Drake May are kind of what you and I grew up on. Guys get drafted high, and they don't play right away, and those guys aren't going to be forced to play right away. Now, for J.J., because their team's pretty talented, they might be able to, like, legitimately not do it. The hard part for Drake May is going to be is the fans have a lot of juice in the NFL because who listens to talk radio and reads all this stuff? Well, coaches claim they don't. They do. But the owner. And if the team is not good, and I got news for you, they're not going to be good, who's going to want to watch? In theory, play Jacoby all year. Well, that sounds great until you're 2-8. And it's like, let's just see what the other guy has. So it's the right pick from a talent standpoint. It's just a tough situation. And sometimes these developmental guys, historically, they get drafted to bad teams. And I've said over and over, and listen, I envied and admired everything the Patriots did for 20 years, but I think they're going to go through a rough spell, and this is not an easy spot for any young quarterback who needs a lot of work.
I want to ask you about the Chargers, okay? Now, yeah, obviously it's a team that I root for, not, you know, noted. But the
same,
other
same. That, now they got Jim Harbaugh. Like, I'm more of a Chiefs guy, but I'm going to root for the Chargers. I want to see the Chargers be good.
Okay, so the criticism of Greg Roman's offense was it wasn't evolved enough in the pass game to win big in the playoffs. That was the criticism. Okay. Now, keep in mind, they won the MVP with that offense. Keep in mind, helped the Buffalo Bills go to the playoffs that offense. Keep in mind that the San Francisco 49ers went to the Super Bowl with that offense. If that offense takes the Chargers deep into the playoffs eventually, isn't that an indictment on Lamar?
Well, think about the two guys Greg Roman got fired for was Kaepernick and Lamar. And neither guy was, I mean, Lamar's way better than Kaepernick. But they both, I mean, Lamar actually I think has made great strides, but it came back to fruition in the game against the Chiefs where he kind of melted. I mean, that was an awful game. I think Greg Roman's pretty good. You know who else thinks he's pretty good? Jim Harbaugh. You know, he's got a pretty good history of knowing who's a good coach, assistant-wise. Jim Harbaugh. So, yeah, I'm with you. I expect you and I have been saying for a month, this team is going big heavy. He was never, ever, maybe if like a Julio Jones. Marvin Harrison's a really good prospect, but he's not like Larry Fitzgerald, Calvin Johnson prospect. If that guy would have been there, now he wouldn't have been there because the Cardinals would have taken him, but let's just say that type player. Maybe Jim would have had to think, but I don't think he had to think, even if Marvin Harrison was sitting on the board. And even he admitted it, the way they build their program. They're going to run the ball. I think for the first time, what's going to be interesting with Jim and Roman is this the best quarterback by far they've had, right, probably since Luck at Stanford. But even then, Stanford played that way. Now, the personnel, I would say, I would imagine over time, they're going to have better weapons. Like, if I say 3 years from now, right, you would imagine they have better weapons they're going to have this year. And their offense will be more passing dynamic. But early on, and I think at his core, like, Jim wants to play 1988 football. Like, he's going to play, you know, Mike Ditka or Buddy Ryan or, you know, Joe Gibbs. Like, he was born to coach then. And the one thing Jim knows, it works. Like, it worked then, and it still works now because the way he built it and the emphasis he puts on the front. And I don't blame him for making the move. Now, it's a little tricky because Alt's never played right tackle. Now, I'm not saying he can't, but you've talked to enough players. Like, some guys, the footwork's a little different. Now, Slater could go over there, but if you're Slater, like, left tackles make a little more. Now, right tackles have made a lot of money, I would say, over the last 5 years, so it might not matter. You know, you saw Penei Sewell get a huge contract. So, ultimately, if Slater's more comfortable over there, he'll still get $100 million or whatever. But I think they made the right move, and I'm with you. I expect Greg Roman and I expect the Chargers to be – we'll have to see. I mean, they're kind of dependent on Mac and Bosa. Like, they're going to need those guys healthy to me to be like a 10-plus win team, but they're going to be competitive immediately.
They are going to be competitive immediately. I think it's interesting. The what they do with the tackles, I mean, that is a first-world problem. But supposedly Joe Alt didn't want to play right tackle at Notre Dame at all, even when he had opportunities early in his career to do so. That part is fascinating.
You know, one thing, Doug, I think if we could do a redo of free agency, and I don't blame the Raiders for not doing this, but where we sit now, I think it's pretty clear. All that money the Raiders gave to Wilkins, the D-tackle, and all the money that the Falcons gave to Cousins, they just would have flip-flopped those two moves. Because the Raiders had a good draft, but it's hard to be, you know, competitive, especially in a division with Harbaugh and Herbert and Andy and Mahomes when your quarterback is Gardner Minshew.
Well, the other part about the Raiders is they've had so many GMs and so much turnover that it's like, I mean, I remember you must have, when you shop for houses when you moved, right? Where yeah. You're like, wait a second, this is weird. Like, well, one builder ran out of money, and then the next builder, and then there's a design change. And then you're like, it's a nice house, but it just doesn't all kind of work together. That's what the Raiders remind me of.
As long as the owner's cool with like taking a deep breath, knowing you're making some progress, but we've seen weird quarterback situations. I don't care how many good players you have at different positions, and they do. Like, it's not inconceivable you win 6-7 games, right?
A sneaky pick that you really, really like. You're like, man, this one's one I like that not a lot of people are talking about.
Well, I think Latu, the defensive end from UCLA, was the best, most polished defensive player in this draft, especially at end. And it's very, very rare for the top pass rusher to make it out of the top 10. Hell, most years, even with quarterbacks, that guy goes like pick 2 or 3 at the latest. Now, I don't know if this guy was quite like Myles Garrett or Nick Bosa, but his main question was his neck, which is a fair question. A doctor told him, you can never play football again. Now, a different doctor cleared him, and then for 2 years, he had like almost 25 sacks. And people, I know they look at UCLA, Chip Kelly, they were kind of a defensive team the last couple years. So to get him at pick 15, and even Chris Ballard's like, yeah, he was our top defensive player. So a lot of teams in the late teens and going to Howie at 22 really benefited from all those offensive players going high, and it pushed down all these top defensive players, which would never be there in most drafts, you know, in the team. So really that stretch of defensive players. Like, I like what the Rams did a lot. Anytime Aaron Donald retires a player of that caliber, you're no different than, like, Kelsey. You can never replace them. But when you can go into a draft and get two immediate players that are power, physical players, I don't think those two guys equal Aaron Donald, but it's a pretty good start. And I got a good buddy that kind of runs the personnel at Florida State. I'm like, what's up with this dude the Rams drafted? You know, because they traded up. They gave Dexter a second-round pick to get the defensive tackle from Florida State in the top 40. And he's like, think Max Crosby at defensive tackle. Just crazy high effort and obviously a really good player. He played on one of the best defenses. So you get him and his teammate. I think the Rams kind of elevated from being like the sexy wild card team to, you know, I think they're going to be right there with the Niners. It's like 11-12 win team.
John Middlecoff, 3 and Outs, the podcast. Download on the Volume Podcast Network. John, you're the best, man. Thanks for joining us.
See you, Doug.
The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high-five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you looking for in a new smart TV? 4K picture quality? High quality and immersive sound? A sleek design? All of those are givens, but only the new Roku Pro Series has all of those and the Roku streaming experience and award-winning OS. Get fast, easy access to all your apps like iHeart, where you can stream all your favorite music, radio, and podcasts all day. And regular all-inclusive trips to Roku City. The new Roku Pro Series, a smart TV built by the streaming pros.